because you know not when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Today we light the first, second, and third candles of the Advent wreath. Each candle has a meaning. The first candle is hope, the second candle is peace, and the third candle is joy. Let us say together, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the fields of the field will clap their hands. Gracious Lord, you came to us in human flesh, and you abide with us in the Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy, and let us shine as a light to the world. Through Jesus Christ, who makes our joy complete. Amen. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God. Let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may abide in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son.
Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Our King and Savior now draws near.
O come, let us adore him.
The part of the Psalter appointed for today is Canto 9, the first song of Isaiah. And we will read it together. Surely it is God who saves me.
I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. And on that day you shall say, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make his deeds known among peoples. See that they remember that his name is exalted. Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things, and this is known in all the world. Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy, for the great one in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult in all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's correction in the bulletin. The hymn that we're going to sing now is 475. Sequencing.
Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children in Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the foot of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share it with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm going to reread this passage in the Message, and then I'm going to take an unusual, not an unusual route, but a different kind of route in terms of addressing this passage. Normally, this passage is it kind of evokes a conversation about metanoia, right? About repentance and spiritual transformation. Now, I'm not necessarily going to leave that out, but I was trying. I don't want to just intellectualize around that idea. So the Message is a translation by Eugene Peterson, and I've used it before. When crowds of people came out for baptism because it was the popular thing to do, John exploded. "Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? You think a little water on your snakeskin is going to deflect God's judgment? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a child of Abraham is neither here nor there. Children of Abraham are a dime a dozen. God can make children from stones if he wants. What counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire." The crowds asked him, "Then what are we supposed to do?" "If you have two coats, give one away," he said. "Do the same with your food." Tax men also came to be baptized and said, "Teacher, what should we do?" He told them, "No more extortion. Collect only what is required by law." Soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He told them, "No harassment, no blackmail, and be content with your rations." The interest of the people by now was building. They were all beginning to wonder, could this John be the Messiah? But John intervened. "I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom of life, of fire. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned." There was a lot of this, words that gave strength to the people, words that put heart in them, the Message. But Herod, the ruler, stung by John's rebuke in the matter of Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife, capped his long string of evil deeds with this outrage. He put John in jail. Wow. I mean, if John showed up today, we would give him anger management classes. I mean, he's clearly upset about some stuff. But he does seem to have made a little bit of an inroad with some of the people there. I want to talk to you about I want to talk to you about this passage, but I want to talk to you about this passage as it relates to a friendship I have. And it's with a young man by the name of Kyrie Brown. And we met yesterday, actually. He and I have differences, and we have similarities. I'm white, he's black. I'm 62, he's 25. More of a abstract thinker. He's an accountant and studying to be a CPA. We do have similarities. One is we're both writers, and we're both romantics. You know, the word romantic comes from Old French meaning story. We tend to kind of view our lives through a narrative. And we're not particularly logical, though he kind of has to be for that CPA exam. And also what's interesting, we both have a disabled left eye. He actually lost his eye. Mine just never, I have that lazy eye, so my brain never managed to get both eyes to work together. And I met Kyrie at the Common House, which is a private club in town, and I run some poetry workshops there. And he's a great young writer. And he showed up at one of the poetry workshops. That's how we became friends. And afterwards, he said, "Hey, can we get together and talk?" I said, "Absolutely, let's do it." Kyrie is also a believer, and he's very serious about his faith. And so I told him, "I'm going to speak to some people tomorrow, and this is the passage of Scripture." And we both looked at it, and a few questions we had is, you know, why did John get so upset? I mean, usually people get happy about church growth. I mean, everybody was showing up. I mean, that's a start. You're supposed to be hospitable, not cuss people out. What was the significance of telling people to share a coat or food, collect only the appropriate taxes, and for the soldiers just to not distort? Extort. What's all that about? So we kind of went back and forth, and he had some reflections, I had some reflections. And one of the reflections in terms of the first question is, why did he get so upset, is that there does seem to be this capacity in human beings that we want to not necessarily be, but seem. I think that's a line from Walt Whitman. We get into the costume of the thing instead of the thing itself. And sometimes for good reason, because it's just complicated to become who you are, to become authentic. And not to mention the fact that, you know, it seems to be acquired taste, and other people are kind of faking it too. So we all just kind of follow each other. I told him about this series on Netflix that I was watching called Love on the Spectrum. It's basically a series about seven young people learning how to date and find love, and they're on the spectrum of autism. And I have family members who are on that spectrum. And in case you don't know, autism refers to a broad range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication. And what is so refreshing about this show is that they're having to start from the beginning and learn how to interact with people in a simple, beautiful, authentic way. And I have to admit, I mean, at first I wasn't quite sure why I was so interested in this. And then I realized, and I'm talking to Kyrie, I said, we miss a lot of that. We almost have to, as normal human beings, I don't want to say that, but we have to really begin again and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be in a relationship with another human being? And to offer our heart, and to be generous. And so a lot of times we're just so smart, we want to skip steps and go straight to the point. And then we miss the point. It's almost, if you want to do something big, start small and get smaller. And these young people were constantly reminding me of that. It was just remarkable. And then what is the significance of telling people, just share your coat, provide some food? I think it's sort of like if we are going to build a relationship with God, just begin with small things. You know, really kind of show up in small things. It's like, oh, you need this? Here. Here's some food. The food pantry here is like a, you know, I hear from people who work in the food pantry that there's a lovely sense of benefit from actually being a part of that and extending it, and not so you get in touch with your sense of generosity, which maybe that's an element of it, but even more deeply, getting closer to the Lord. So doing these things, I mean, I remember when I first read this passage, it just seemed like, yeah, you just need to do good things, kind of override the meanness in you. But really, what John is saying is, quit faking it, just start doing some of these things. You know, simple things. They don't have to be big things. You don't have to call rank and say that, you know, bring out your genealogy and make sure everybody knows how important you are. Just show up. Kyrie and I went back and forth. You know, he liked that. And some of the ideas that I'm putting forward are really his. I told him about this book that I really liked called Change or Die. And it's trying to analyze, I think I've mentioned this book before, how do people really change? We think they change by punishing them or telling them they're going to die. I mean, John kind of is pushing in that direction a little bit. But that's really not how people change. And there's two examples. One is that a lot of times people are told that they need to completely change their diet or they have a heart condition and they need to change their diet. Often they don't. Also, people who go to prison, it's a horrible experience and they return. So clearly, change doesn't seem to be happening by threatening people or punishing them. And this book basically explored, well, so what does change? And even though the writer is Jewish, he gave a couple examples from some Christian ministries. And he summarized it as relate, repeat, and reframe. That people change because they've built a relationship with somebody. They also change because they're doing something a little bit different. And repeating that. In terms of the love on the spectrum, these young people were being very courageous at accepting dates with other people and walking and being right in front of them and relating to them, which is really the thing that they're most terrified of. And in the film, oftentimes the film crew just says, "Chloe, do you need to take a break?" And she would go, "Yes." And so she would go off and regroup and then come back to the date. But to relate to a person and then to practice things, like in the passage of scripture, just give away things, do something, you know, just kind-hearted, you know, tolerate that annoying person, those kinds of things. And gradually there's a way in which the reframing takes place, that the way you thought the world worked becomes dismantled and you accept a new way. I think, you know, in terms of this season, that's the Holy Spirit. But we can get ready and we can practice something new. Now, before I said goodbye to Kyrie, he said, "Hey, may I read a poem?" And it's not really a poem, it's like writing. It's kind of a poem, but it's writing. I said, "Sure, let me hear it." And this is Kyrie J. Brown's poem. "All I have to do is show up. God has chosen the cast, set the scene, and prepped the scenario with pristine precision. Not a hair out of place and all adjustments final. All I have to do is show up. No need for a script, only my raw authenticity. I trust in God as I'm his understudy. He has been molding me via experience, philosophy and prose, working my heart to pursue his will. All I have to do is show up," by Kyrie J. Brown. I asked him if I could read this poem to you all today. He goes, "Oh, do you think they'll like it?" Yeah. So then what are we supposed to do? Show up. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. In this season of Advent, we pray together for those who wait for the presence of God.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our sovereign, you are always coming into the world. Come to us now, soon and forever, and let us receive you as a child of holiness and the wind of change. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Yes, sir.
Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemy, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessings of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for letting us ask which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which he overcame temptation, for his dying, through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Thank you.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.